Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
That bloody audio! I'll bloody kill it! It's mocking me! It's bloody mocking me! Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as we talk about the transfer race for Diamande, Stiller, Endia, and a lot more. But as I was late, I'm not doing it again. It's not my fault it was muted. I feel I have to do it again. Agadoo, push by an apple, shake a tree. Agadoo, push by an apple, shake coffee. To the left, to the right, jump up and down onto the knees. Come and dance every night, singing ru-a-la-la-me. If you know, you know. If you know, if you know, if you know, you know. I promised it last night, so, and I was late, so I do have to do it. But I checked the audio before I went live, and then the audio is there messing me about. Absolute knobheads. Anyway, I hope you're all doing very well this morning. The race is on. That's what we're going to be talking about. We're not talking about Mane because I did my homework and the Manchester United Mane talk story came out 2 weeks ago. Beware of people who regurgitate stories that we've already heard. I said this last night. People were going, are you going to talk about Mane? Are you going to talk about Mane? And I was like, it's like deja vu. Beyonce's going to come in a minute. We've definitely spoken about Mane. It was 2 weeks ago. It was broken already that Man United are in talks about Mane. It's just incredible to me how you can just... Samuel Lookhurst in the Manchester Evening News used to be brilliant at this. A story would break and then 2 weeks later, they'd pass it off as their own. So we're not talking about Mane. We're going to talk about something a little bit new. Angelo Stiller is where we're going to start. We're going to talk then about Endia and the race with Endia with Arsenal. We'll talk about Diamande in Liverpool. We'll talk about Baleba and competition for him. And also, I want to talk about the return of Rasmus if we get time towards the end, because there's quite a lot to talk about and a few interesting quotes that have come out this morning. But we're going to talk about Angelo Stiller. Interesting here because some would say it's gone a little bit quiet on Angelo Stiller. So put a few feelers out just to see what the situation is in the Bundesliga, but also with Manchester United as well. And what we can tell you is that from German reports, Stiller is leaving Stuttgart this summer, and that is fully expected to happen. He has a release clause at the moment, which is around £40 million. But there is this activation fee that Stuttgart can pay Stiller £1.5 million, and they can then up the price of the release clause. Now, they haven't done that yet. Manchester United are very interested in Stiller, but it's primarily coming from Nagelsmann, who has a thorough understanding of the Bundesliga and is a massive fan of Stiller. Wilcox prefers Baleba and doesn't feel like United need Stiller because they've got Mainoo and Bruno. So there's a little bit of a clash there. That's okay. I mean, look, I've had my say about whether Wilcox and Berarda should be picking the next Manchester United manager. But look, conflict and disagreement in the board on transfers is fine as long as the right decision is made. Obviously, we had a bit of conflict between Sesko and Watkins with Amorim and Favell won. And, you know, I would have been quite happy with Watkins, but at the time I preferred Sesko. And ultimately, it was the right choice because Amorim's no longer here and Favell is. So it is the right choice. So it's about conflict is fine. It's about making the right choices. What are the chances of Man United winning this race? Well, I think that Stuttgart have had a fantastic season, but they have a limitation. Stiller is approaching his mid-20s. I think he might be 25 now. So he needs to make that move. There is interest from Real Madrid. There is interest from Bayern Munich. But Manchester United have got a great chance. They will need Champions League football because the chances are that Stuttgart might have Champions League football come the end of the season. So he's unlikely to leave a club that's in the Champions League to go to a club that isn't. But assuming we do get Champions League football, and I think there is a big chance of that, I suspect Favell will be pushing this at the very top table, saying this is a player that has that mentality. You know, you talk about the likes of Mbeumo and Cunha, and Stiller in a very different way is like that. He's a leader at that team. He's actually 24. He'll be 25 in April. So he's established. He's ready to go. He conducts things from deep. He is a tackler. He can win the ball in the air. He is a passer. He's basically, and this is going to sound very wrong, but he's a bit like Bruno, but in the midfield, in the sense that the way he conducts things, he can take free kicks, he can take corners. Obviously, he's not going to hit the numbers of assists that Bruno hits, but he's involved in everything for Stuttgart from the midfield. So essentially, and there is an element of truth to this, he would play in the Mainu position. He would. I'll be honest, he'd play in the Mainu position. And that's going to cause problems. This is probably why Wilcox is kicking back. This is probably why Favell is kicking forward. Because it comes down to, do you want competition for places? Or are we just going to say that's Mainu's place for the next 5 years and we just need a crap understudy? Personally, I think that you bring Stiller in, and if he's better than Mainu, well, Mainu goes to the bench. Or you bring Stiller in, and if Mainu keeps improving, you find a different place for Stiller. I think competition for places is really important. And I think you can't ignore quality players at that price just because Mainu's the future. It doesn't matter. You can still bring him in. And I think this is probably, in fairness, what the reservation is. And also, Wilcox doesn't like to bring in players that aren't from the Premier League and under a certain age as well, as we've seen with his suggestions consistently with the likes of Liam Delap, etc. So it's going to be very interesting how it pans out. Very much still a player that Manchester United want in the sense of Favell. Obviously, there's a bit of kickback there. We know who has the final say. But I think it's... I've said before time and time again that these are the sort of deals that you can be working on now. These are the sort of deals that the next manager is not going to have a problem with. These are the sort of deals that, you know, you can be having the talks about, and I think we have to be, because I think these are the sort of deals that this player goes to Arsenal and you go, why didn't we go for him? It's like, it's almost like, I'm not saying he is Zubimendi, but it's almost like Zubimendi again. It's like, this is a player that could just come in and you'd look at it and go, why didn't we do that? It feels like the sort of signing that Ralf Rangnick would say, go and do. I think that's the best explanation I can give. It feels like the sort of deal, and obviously Ralf Rangnick would, I think, have a relationship with Vival, certainly part of the RB group, so they probably did cross paths. But if Ralf Rangnick was here, I feel that he would be the player that Ralf Rangnick would be pushing at Manchester United, and that'll do it for me anyway. But I've seen a lot of Stiller this season doing the Bundesliga on That's Football, and I think it is a deal that Man United should be looking at. I really, really do. But it's interesting because Wilcox, as we move from Stiller to... I've got four players to talk about this morning, and the race is on, obviously, with Stiller, because there are other clubs looking at him, Arsenal tentatively, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich. So there's competition from very big clubs. And that's another thing before we move on as well. You might be like, I don't want Stiller, I want to stick with Mainu, or I don't want Stiller, I want Elliot Anderson. I mean, this is a player that Bayern Munich, Real Madrid and Arsenal are linked to. It's not Everton, Marseille and Napoli. It's three of the biggest clubs in the world. So it tells you the quality. And I firmly believe that these are the type of players that Manchester United should be pushing for. I mean, if I'm looking at a player and it's suggested to me, and I know that Real Madrid and Bayern Munich and Arsenal are looking at him, I mean, that's another tick in the box as far as I'm concerned. But a byproduct of that is Wilcox. Wilcox is dead ahead on Belaba. He wants Belaba. He's pushing for Belaba. That was his deal in the summer. He wants Belaba. He thinks Man United should go back in for Belaba, and he's pushing for that. So one of the midfield spots is highly likely to be Belaba if Wilcox gets his way. Now, I wouldn't listen to Wilcox. You've probably seen me say that multiple times, and it's not just an opinion. It's a fact. There's multiple bad decisions he's made. I mean, Wilcox was the man who was pushing for Liam Delap. Nobody else. Liam Delap was the striker for Manchester United. And I think that's worth bringing into this show, because we're starting to approach the end of February, March international break. The transfer conversations are starting now. And I think that when you look at Liam Delap, it was what? The first week of April that we broke that Liam Delap was the player that Man United wanted. They'd chosen. They were confident they were going to get him because of the relationship with Wilcox. We didn't get European football and he chose Chelsea. I mean, there's not many positives to finishing 15th and losing to Spurs, But not getting Liam Delap in hindsight is probably one of them. I mean, have you ever actually considered what Man United would be if we got Liam Delap instead of Sesko? I have. I've seen him at Chelsea. And look, I personally think Liam Delap's not a bad player, but he should have gone to Everton. He had 1 year in the Premier League at Ipswich and thought he was a starter for a top four team. And whoever was advising him, I think they just got like sort of deer in the headlights. Like, realistically, a season at Everton would have been perfect for him. He needed another season at not a big club starting every week. He chose to go to Chelsea. If he'd have come to Man United, I'm telling you now, watching Liam Delap quite regularly at Man United, he would have struggled. He'd have got frustrated. He's quite physical. He picks up quite a lot of yellow cards. I think it would have been worse at United than it has been at Chelsea. So I think Jason Wilcock's talent identification needs to be questioned there big time. And anyway, going back to Baleba, I wouldn't be surprised if we started to see a bit of a story about United being in competition for Baleba. I'm not aware of anybody going for Baleba, but I think it fits in nicely with Stiller. Before we move on to the attackers, Endia and Diamande, I think it fits in quite nicely with the midfield because United know they've got to buy at least two. If one of them is Baleba, that takes the pressure off on the second one. They've got to buy two midfielders, right? If they don't have a dead cert, that's two midfielders they've got to get in a competitive market. So Baleba provides them with 50% of the midfielders they've got to sign, and it's an open goal. I would not be surprised over the next coming weeks if there was a story that came out about a couple of big clubs wanting Baleba just to benefit Man United's chase, because the way some people in our fan base work is they'll fall for anything. So if a story comes out that Bayern Munich want Baleba, or I don't know, trying to think of a Premier League club, Chelsea want Baleba, it just benefits Man United when he signs for us because it's an open goal signing. But can you sign Baleba and Stiller? Yes, you can. Can you sign Baleba and Anderson? Yes, you can. Personally, I agree with Darren. What's the obsession with Baleba? I think we have to accept that there's a very, very high chance that we will go for him. I don't really understand why. Crap at the weekend again. Brighton are going to ask a lot of money. But the story consistently from Man United ever since September has been that Baleba is the player that they want. And I've spoken to a couple of journalists who put this out there that, you know, why is it that Man United keep putting it out there that they want Baleba no matter how bad he plays? Because The Athletic have reported it. I think Romano's reported it. Ben Jacobs has mentioned it. Other journalists have said it consistently over the last few months. Man United, when they're asked about Baleba, keep saying, we're not put off by his performances this season. We believe there's a good player there and he's a player of interest to Manchester United. So they keep putting that out there. And the reason they keep putting that out there is because Wilcox likes Baleba, and Wilcox, I mean, I don't know whether Wilcox is stubborn. I don't know. I think he likes to be right. That doesn't make you stubborn. Technically, I suppose it could do. But he is the person pushing the Baleba deal. He is the one that is like, no, we went for him in the summer. We really like him. We're not changing course. We really believe in this signing. And obviously there'll be other people backing him. Maybe Sir Jim, maybe Baleba. But Jason Wilcox, as the director of football, is driving that. I think United are going to have to spin this. I really do. I think they're going to have to get other clubs in the story to make it sound like this competition. I think they're going to have to hope that they can drive the price down from Brighton to below 60 because he's not worth more than that. I think they're going to have to hope he finishes the season playing off quite well. But remember, he's not in the World Cup. So it makes him a very, very interesting deal to do. But the thing that annoys me about the Baleba story is that I can't see us getting him any cheaper than maybe £60 million. And that £60 million would literally buy you Stiller. That £60 million would buy you other midfielders who I think are more suitable for Manchester United. But I'm not going to change my mind on it. I think the opinion is there and it is strong that there is a very, very big chance that Manchester United will sign Baleba in the summer. And it's being pushed by Wilcox, as I said. Let me just get into some of your comments before we move on to the attackers. I just want to set up a little poll as well for a little bit later in the show. I've seen a few people talking about it. Would you bring Rasmus back? The theory is we won't have a lot of money to spend. We won't have a lot of money to spend in the summer. Just listen me out. Would you bring Rasmus back? It's been floating around social media a little bit. We won't have a lot of money to spend in the summer. We need two or three midfielders. We need a left back. We need a winger. Arguably need a striker. Definitely need a right back. Arguably need a backup goalkeeper and a backup striker. So if you bring Rasmus back and he's happy to fight for his place, as a backup striker, why would he? He's free. So, but then some people are saying, but Napoli want to buy him. It's 40 million quid. So, yeah, I think there's a possible conversation to be had there. Has Mainu had reasonable coaching, says Keel. Do they consider Belaba good scouting, says Rajaf. Yes. What are your quick thoughts on the Vinicius Junior racism incident? Well, I'm doing a video on That's Football, mate, so I don't want to do a video here and then that's content for That's Football. So that'll be going out at about 11. This is Man United. If Mainu and Stiller are healthy for the whole season, there should be enough games in the Premier League and Champions League for them to both play games, says Archer. Great point. Patrick Lynch says, Fergie bought Varane in to challenge for places with the treble-winning midfield. You can't claim to want top players and then be afraid that it causes competition for spots. The best will always play. Go prove it. Yeah, and I actually, Patrick, do think that Wilcox wouldn't have a problem bringing Belaba in to compete with Mainu.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I think with Stiller, he's going to have a hard sell. Good start to the show. I would bring in Stiller because even if we make Champions League, you need rotation and quality, and Stiller is good, says Ray Carl Brown. Look, whether I think we'll sign Stiller or not, it's definitely a signing that Nagelsmann is pushing. Sorry, Favell. I always get Favell and Nagelsmann mixed up. It's definitely a signing that Favell is pushing. He is definitely going to be a player where other people are looking at him. And I think that it's definitely the sort of signing that Manchester United should be making if they want to start making steps forward, because he reminds me of a player that is probably a little bit like Bruno at Sporting, where he's such a big player for Stuttgart, but he's ready to take the step up into the big stage. And United should be looking at those sort of players. Stiller and Anderson are prodigiously talented lads, says Amit. Stiller, Tonali, Anderson, or Stiller, Anderson, McAllister. The first three. I don't want Alexi McAllister, Amit. Agadu time, says James. Thank you very much. And Amit says, dream team next season. Le Mans, Mazraoui, Dalit, Martinez, Dorgu, Belaba / Stiller, Mainu, Bruno, Ahmad, Cunha, Mbeumo / Sesko, Diamande, unstoppable. It's a good team, Amit, but even going through that team, I don't think it's unstoppable. I really don't. And I'm not negative against the likes of Mainu, Bruno, Cunha, Mbeumo, Dorgu, Martinez, Dalit, Le Mans, Mazraoui, and whoever else was in the team. But I don't think it stacks up, actually, against the best teams in Europe. I don't. My stance with Man United is, I don't for one minute think Bruno, De Ligt, Martinez, Cunha, Mbeumo, Ahmad are going to win Man United a Premier League. I don't think they're at that level at the moment. I think we need to build a first 11. We need to do what Arsenal did. We have got some very, very good players. First of all, we need to build an 11 that can compete with everybody. Then we need to build a bench that can compete with everybody. And I think we're a long way off, Amit. I really do. I know there are people out there that think next season we might be able to compete for the title. I think next season is going to be very difficult. Very, very difficult. I think United is a roller coaster. And I think, as I said last night, some people just can't do patience. It's swipe, 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 instant gratification, instant opinion. And I think there's a long game. I don't like it, but I think there is a long game. I think 10 years of damage might take 10 years to put right. I don't think it will or should take 10 years, but it's not going to take 6 months. Carrick's not going to get at the magic bus and take us to the title next season. It's just not going to happen. There's no precedent for that in recent football. I mean, Leicester did it, but that was a lot. That's nearly 10 years ago, and it was a crap Premier League. We might get a crap Premier League next year, but I don't think a Leicester thing is possible. So we've got to move as quick as we can. A long plan is not buying the players you need. We need to buy between 6 and 10 players in the summer, and even then, next season will be a challenge. I think this season we might have a bit of an up and get Champions League football. I think next season we might have a bit of a down and be out of the Champions League again, because I think it's going to be very difficult for us to compete on two levels. You don't know how much this World Cup's going to damage us, and you don't know how much playing twice a week is going to damage us, and you don't know how much everybody else is going to improve. So I also think the World Cup could damage us as well, because I need to move on. We've got some stories. Basically, I think we've got 3 or 4 players that might be playing at a very increased level because the World Cup's coming up. And I'm not going to name those 4 players, but I think we might have 3 or 4 players that are playing at a higher level because they want to go to the World Cup. And when that World Cup's not there, will they play at that high level? Now, people might say, well, name them, you're not being fair. It's not fair to name them. You can probably name them yourselves. However, Man United, if there's one word that would describe Manchester United's dressing room, it's inconsistent. They're a cup team. When they've got something to play for, they can turn up. But consistently, they don't turn up. I just feel this season we've got a few players that are playing at a much higher level than they have done for the last 2 years. And why is that? And the World Cup, when you remove that World Cup, will they be available as much? Will they perform as much? I don't think so. Apart from DM Onde, any other wingers on the radar, says Rajaf. And Ashish, well, we're about to talk about that. Ashish says, 4 midfielders, 3 fullbacks, 2 wingers, a backup striker and some bench players that can be rotated. Also, getting rid of the deadwood, that's what we need. We need a lot this summer, Ashish. There's no doubt about that. Right, I want to talk about wingers. Funnily enough, Rajaf has obviously got the brief because, interestingly, a couple of things I want to talk about. I want to talk about Diamande in a moment, but I want to talk about Endia. So we were talking about Endia. And his statement that he loves Old Trafford, that it's his favourite place. And obviously this has the echoes of what we saw with Mbeumo and Cunha, where Man United fans, you know, other clubs wanted Mbeumo, but he wanted Man United because he's a Man United fan. We may have the same thing with Endia here. We may have the very same thing happening where it appears he has a love for Manchester United and wants to come to Manchester United. So that could help us if we go for him. Price tag, you're probably talking around 60 million, maybe 65. Everton aren't easy to deal with, so certainly won't be cheap. And I feel like it's a possibility for Manchester United. The interesting thing is, and I wasn't aware of this, I didn't know whether there was any competition for Endia. He has actually been linked quite strongly with Arsenal. So there could be a little bit of competition for him. I think with Endia, and I know I'm pronouncing his name wrong, I agree with Tup. I think he's a baller. I think he's a really good player. He does remind me a little bit of Cunha. I don't know why, because I think he's a better dribbler. But Cunha's a good dribbler, but in a different way. I think Endia's got tighter control. He's almost got that Hazard thing about him as well. He's got that ability to glide. He's a good player. It'd be interesting if Man United's interest develops into genuine interest. And it'll be interesting to see if that genuine interest builds beyond rumour. Because it sounds like it's a pathway to a signing. But then it would be even more interesting if Arsenal were in for him, because I think Arsenal do need a left winger. And I could see him doing well at Arsenal. I think technically it's NDI. Doesn't sound right to me, Marcus. Arsenal do need a left winger because they've got Martinelli, they've got Trossard. So they do need a winger. So it'd be interesting on that one, because Diamande, and I saw it last night somewhere, and look, I'm not saying it's the best source in the world. It was, I think it was Talk Sport, who are very hit and miss. Liverpool look ready to join the race for Leipzig winger Jan Diamande. Man United and Chelsea have both been keeping tabs on Diamande. Leipzig have put a price tag of more than 80 million on him. That valuation could come down if Leipzig, currently fifth in the table, miss out on Champions League football next season. So again, this Champions League, it's not just the same for the Prem, it's the same for everybody. And the Bundesliga race for Champions League spots is very, very competitive. And Leipzig have had a good season, but they've just had a couple of bad results recently. So you've got Stuttgart, Dortmund, Leverkusen, Hoffenheim, Bayern, obviously. So there's a very, very competitive race for top four. And if Leipzig aren't in it, then the price tag could come down a little bit. I think United, I like Diamande, and I know that United like Diamande. And again, I know that it's Favell and Wilcox that like the idea of this because he's a younger player with a high ceiling. They really do like it. However, Ndia is going to be a lot cheaper, isn't he? He's going to be a lot cheaper. And I think that out of the two, it's tough. It's tough, but I feel like United might have a play there with Ndia more than they have with Diamande. But we have got a good relationship with Leipzig as well. I think that overarchingly, what caught my eye this morning is you talk about Stiller, you talk about Baleba, you talk about Ndia, you talk about Diamande. Apart from Baleba, and it probably explains the story, every one of those players we're going to have a battle for. You can add Elliot Anderson in as well. I'm sure you could give me three or four names as well. That there is so much competition for players, as there should be, because there's so much money swashing around. There's so much potential money swashing around on Champions League qualification. We need to do so much business this summer. And there is going to be so much competition for players. And it does start to suddenly, sadly, make sense why we're pushing Baleba so much, because nobody wants him and he wants to join for us and he's a midfielder. And I don't think Man United genuinely don't care about Baleba's performance this season. I mean, what football club sits there and goes, our big midfield signing has been shit for a year and we don't care? I don't believe that for 1 minute. I think they look at it like we've just digested those last few signings potentials and gone, every one of them is going to be a battle. Diamande, you're going to have Liverpool and Chelsea. Ndia, you might have Arsenal. Stiller, you might have Arsenal, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Anderson, you're going to have Man City, Chelsea and everybody else. Water, yeah, every player you look at, we're going to have competition. And yet Baleba is an open goal. So I think that probably explains that. But it's going to be a very interesting summer because I thought we bought quite well last year. But I still only gave the window a 5 out of 10 because we didn't get everything we needed. So I would expect that we will bring a couple of good players in this season. I'm absolutely convinced about it. But it's whether we cover off everything. Everton will not make it easy for us to sign, says Meg. Wow. I mean, remember Branthwaite? Was it with Branthwaite? What did they want for Branthwaite? There's a story for you. I do not want Barry from Everton. I'd rather have Barry from EastEnders, mate. I really don't rate Barry from Everton. He's a typical striker who every now and again scores a good goal and then absolutely blitzes it. What about Sharda? He's better than Ndia, says Stretford Single. I mean, I do like Sharda. There's no doubt about that. He's a good player, but not for me. And also, I think you're going to pay for Sharda. I like Sharda. I think he's a good shout, actually. I do. Stretford Signal, you know what, actually, retract. I actually think Sharda at EastEnders at Brentford is a good shout, but Ndia might be actually cheaper. Might be cheaper. It was 80 million they wanted for Branthwaite. Yeah, how much is Branthwaite worth now? I mean, what does Branthwaite even do now? I heard he's stacking shelves at Tesco. I'm joking. But you know what? So, we're a fan community. I mean, we can have a bit of laugh and a bit of banter. I mean, I was never getting an interview with Branthwaite anyway, so who gives a shit? But I mean, what is Branthwaite doing now? Imagine if we'd given Everton even 60 million for Branthwaite, and he's like, no, he's nowhere near the World Cup. Absolutely nowhere near the World Cup. So, you've got to be very careful. As Savage said, who is Branthwaite? I don't even know. Is he injured? I've not seen him. You know what? I've just realised I made a massive mistake. He's going to score a hat trick, isn't he, on Monday night now? I don't know whether he's injured. I haven't seen him in an Everton team for a long time because they play Keane and Tarkowski, don't they? And again, I think that was another... I mean, I'm glad we didn't do the deal, but I think that was another talent profile of Ineos, wasn't it? So last time out, they had a red card and they lost to Bournemouth at home. O'Brien got sent off. Oh, no, he played. Branthwaite played centre-back with Tarkowski. So he did play their last game. So I stand corrected. And the game before that, they played Fulham. And he didn't start that game. He was on the bench. So he did start the game they lost. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that would have been I don't know who talent profiled Branthwaite, probably Wilcox. Praveen says, hi, Mark. Any thoughts on making a video about Glazers going to invest in another team that is my favourite team, RCB, by getting Man United as collateral? Well, Prav, I'm happy to make a video on this, but nobody's actually proven that that's the case. There's some rumours that United have taken a loan out, which the Glazers are going to use to buy a cricket team, but nobody's actually confirmed that yet. So when it's confirmed, I think we will. Let me have a look at the poll. So would you bring Rasmus back to Manchester United? 41% of you are saying yes, and that means that 59% of you are saying no. Also got an interesting comment coming in from Man United's former goalkeeping coach. I'll bring you that in a moment. Okay, I'll talk about that in a moment as well. I agree. I think that 60%, basically 40% would bring Rasmus back, 60% wouldn't bring him back. I understand the yes, I do. I think that United need to bring a lot of players in the summer, and we probably haven't got the money. So if you bring a player back who's already a player and they're a backup striker in a season where you've got Champions League and Premier League football, I'm not convinced that Mbeumo as a backup striker really is long term. It's a little bit stopgap. So, look, I understand that. But I've got to be consistent. I don't think you should bring players back. And the money thing doesn't bother me massively, because what you've got to remember is the £40 million we get for Rasmus isn't profit.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We paid 60. So you're just getting some of the money back that we're probably still paying Napoli, to be honest with you. I don't think we've paid off the Napoli deal yet, because there's probably 3 or 4 years of installments. So that £40 million isn't necessarily pure profit that goes in towards transfers. It will help, but it's probably not full 40 when you think about it. But for me, it's a no, because I think we just need to move on. And as much as I agree that having a backup striker would be great next season, especially if we don't need to buy one, I also think that there's always a problem bringing a player back. Our media are quite vindictive. And I just think bringing anybody back, whether it's Rasmus, Rashford, Garnacho, whoever, I just think it's like you're putting a lot of pressure on that player. You're putting a lot of pressure on the club. You're creating a lot of headlines. Whereas if you bring a new player in, you don't have any of that. So I think for me, we shouldn't be bringing anybody back, whether that's Rashford or ever. I do want to just run another poll here, because it was logical. And I didn't do it. And I think we might have done it the other day, but I can't remember the result. So I'm going to do it now. Diamonde or Endia. There you go. There was a comment here that I wanted to read out. It came in from Eric Steele, who is the former Man United coach, on what happened in the final moments before signing De Gea in 2011. He said, we were down to Hugo Lloris, Manuel Neuer and David De Gea as final options. And Sir Alex Ferguson has gone and said, in the end, I'm backing my goalkeeping coach, which is exactly what we did this last summer. And the reason I bring that in is I think that's what specialism is. That's what having the right best in class people are. I think that with De Gea ahead of Neuer and Lloris at that time might not have seemed to be the right choice. I mean, Manuel Neuer probably is a better goalkeeper than David De Gea. Probably. I love David De Gea, but he's probably a better player. Last summer, Tony Cotton, the goalkeeping coach at Man United, was asked about Le Mans, and he said Le Mans is the goalkeeper that we should go for. So we should be doing that a lot more often. The problem is if you get the wrong people in charge. That's the problem. I think if you've got the wrong people in charge, then, you know, you end up with Belaba or you end up with Delap or something like that. So, look, it is interesting because I think it just shows that not everything this club has done in the last 15 years is bad, but it's sporadic and it's inconsistent because not everybody we've got in that club knows what they're doing. So if you've got a goalkeeping coach who's good at their job, listening to them means you'll probably get a decent goalkeeper. If you've got a director of football who is fucking useless at their job, then you're probably going to make a lot of mistakes and it's going to cost you a lot of money, which is why best in class is important if you can get it. Amit says, do you reckon 350 to 400 million budget next season is pragmatic? I think that budgets are really subjective because I think that, like, football changed massively, didn't it, over the last few years. I think there was times probably 7 or 8 years ago where we would do a video maybe in March saying United's £250 million budget and we'd all sit there and spend the money. I remember doing these videos and in a way, it's embarrassing, but at the time it was just what everybody did, even the mainstream. You'd sit there with your budget and you'd go 50 million for him, 40 million for him. I'm out. I've run out of money. But we know it's not how that doesn't work like that now. If you've got £50 million, you could buy 5 players who are worth £50 million because the first installment might be 10. So it's really difficult to project how much money Man United have. And it's really difficult to project what we can buy. I think that Champions League qualification obviously gives us 100 million quid of profit, but not being in Europe this season costs us a lot of money as well. We also owe a lot of money in transfers. We also have to pay debt interest on the debt. So there's a lot of outgoings for United. And it's about how much basically, it's not about a budget. It's about how much we can spend and play off over the next few years. You could buy, let's say, Diamonde from Leipzig and the outlay might be 15 million. But the next 4 years, you've got to pay, or 5 years, you've got to pay 15 million as well. So I think it's hard to predict what our budget is. I would rather predict how many players we're going to buy. My prediction is 4 or 5. I think we need 7 to 10. 4 or 5 to me won't get us. 4 or 5 will make us struggle next season. If their 4 or 5 is 2 midfielders, a winger, a left back, and a backup goalkeeper, I don't think that's enough. I think you need 3 midfielders, winger, backup striker, right back, left back, goalkeeper, and potentially another number 10, depending on what happens with Bruno as well. So I think I think we need a lot of players this summer. I think you've got to go and have a summer like Arsenal had last year. But I don't think we're capable of doing that. And I think that the resonating thing will always be, we're not capable of doing that because we're not quick enough. Even the Mbeumo deal last year took between June and the middle of July. And it's a World Cup year as well. So I just think, I mean, I don't want to be a transfer doom merchant, but the transfer window is going to be challenging for everybody because of the World Cup. It's going to be such a short window, really, when you think about it, because so many players are going to be, I'm at the World Cup. This is a, you know, this is a once in a lifetime thing. United could, if Man United needed to buy six players, you need 6 months. You don't need 6 weeks, basically. A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is straight fire, says Ranjaf. Shout out. I've watched it. It's very good. Yeah, very, very good. Stretford Signal says, Porro, DeMarco, Diamande, Bruno G, and Micha, Tchouaméni. How would you rate these players? And do you reckon we need Baleba / Anderson instead of these lot? Bruno Guimarães is fantastic. United won't go anywhere near him because of the price and the age. And Micha at Dortmund is somebody that I think is made for the Premier League and would be a very good signing at a reasonable price. Tchouaméni, I don't watch a lot of La Liga, so I think it's tough for me to say on that one. Pedro Porro is a very established right back in the Premier League, and DeMarco, very good left back, but again, it might be a little bit old for Manchester United. I don't know what DeMarco's age is. Let me have a look. You're going to struggle for United to want to do a deal like that. Diamande, we've spoken about, unless you're talking about the centre-back from Sporting, which I personally don't feel like we need a centre-back at the moment. Amit says, this guaranteed next season, two midfielders, one left-back and one striker for sure. Thank you very much. Okay, for that. Amici is a bit injury prone, says I'm not. And Michi was a City Academy as well, wasn't he? Says Terp. I think most people are these days, aren't they? I like that. John, I like Sharder. I think it's a good shout. I do. I think it's a good shout, Sharder. And there are options out there, but everybody's going to cost money these days. Everyone's going to cost money. I'm just making sure I've caught up with all these comments. Would you be happy with Diouf, Mark? I think there's a lot of people talking about Diouf at West Ham. I've seen a lot of people talking about Diouf about West Ham in the chat. I suppose I should answer it because I haven't really commented. He's having a really good season. There's just something a bit raw about him that I don't know whether it would work at Man United. I'm not convinced. I might be wrong, but there's something about him that I just think is a little bit raw, a little bit rough around the edges. And I'm like, at United, I think we need to make signings that are like high chance of success. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure about him. But look, I might be completely wrong, and I've seen a lot of you mentioning him. So, what about Barella? He's a top player, says Praveen. Too old, never played in the Premier League, won't go anywhere near him. Rob Always United says, after watching Bundesliga, I like Stiller. He wouldn't be too expensive either. Yeah, I think there are some good players you can get out of the Bundesliga. Without being biased, I think there are some really good players there. And I think Stiller's a hidden gem. It just concerns me that you've got Favell saying, let's go and do this deal. And then you've got United, well, Wilcox and co going, nah, we're not so sure. They wouldn't have bought Bruno then, would they? Because Bruno is in exactly the same situation at Sporting. Very fundamental player. That was the time to go and get him, and we did it. And we were a little bit fortunate, to be honest with you. I think if we hadn't got the injuries to Pogba and McTominay, we probably wouldn't have done it, and we'd missed out. But I think there's a good player there. Would Favell be a better Sporting director than Wilcox? Yeah, well, I think you'd be. Can't wait for a Sesco hat-trick, mate. What do you reckon, says Amit? I think he will get a hat-trick at some point. I think he's the sort of player that is a bit of a chance magnet. I've said this before. I said it about Darwin Nunez. I know he didn't work out at Liverpool, but one thing I would always say about Darwin Nunez at Liverpool was his ability to get into positions was incredible. That's not chance. That is an ability. And I think Sesko is the same. I think he gets into positions a lot. And as we saw with that finish against West Ham, fantastic. The interesting thing, I'm going to do a video on Sesko and how good he actually is, because I think there are some people that are telling some half-truths and mixing up stats to make him look better than he is. I think he's got huge potential, but and there are real strengths to his game. His number one trait for me is his ability to get into space. I think he gets into space brilliantly. He doesn't always take the chance, but he gets into space. That's really encouraging. I think there's a lot of work to do on his finishing, because it can be quite sporadic. And his time at Leipzig, he was never prolific. He was never like, he's not Haaland. That's not what he is. He's not Harry Kane. He's not prolific. He's not like 20 goals in 25 games. He's more 13 goals in 26 games. So if we can get his prolificness up, because he's definitely got the finishing ability, he's a chance magnet. So I would expect him to start scoring hat-tricks, yeah. The video on Sesko will be very good. I will get that today and drop it. Thank you, everybody, for watching. As Savage says, the basics are there. He just needs more Premier League experience. I completely agree. Thank you very much for watching, everybody. We're back at 2, slightly earlier evening show tonight, because I'm doing Wolves against Arsenal on That's Football. So make sure you smash a like on the video and subscribe. 60% of you would go for Ndia over Diamande. Again, can't disagree. Can't disagree. And would be an easier deal with more experience and Premier League proven. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. And I'll speak to you in a bit.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.